Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. We're all given gifts and abilities. It's not how many we've got, but how we use them that determines the outcome of our lives. Rather than complain about what we don't have, let's focus today on how to best use what we've been given. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're now in a series on stewardship called The Joy of Generosity. And today, Dr. Lutzer begins a challenging message on Christ, the Lord of our talents.
This is the second message in a series that we are preaching on stewardship, actually the joy of generosity, the joy that God gives to us when we become generous with what He has so generously entrusted to our care. Do you often think of the judgment seat of Jesus Christ? The Bible teaches that there are two judgments, of course. There's the great white throne judgment where the unbelieving of all the ages shall stand before the Almighty. And in a detailed way, God will go through their lives, not to see whether they are worthy to be saved, but rather to determine the degree of punishment that they will receive in hell. That's the great white throne judgment. But the Bible also teaches that there's a judgment for believers. We call it the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. That means that there's going to be a time when we will stand before Christ and He will know us by name. This summer I was preaching on heaven and somebody said, Will Jesus know us by name? Well, obviously the answer is yes, first of all, because Jesus knows everything. And secondly, it says that He puts forth His own sheep. He goes before them and He calls them by name. Jesus is going to look into our eyes, and when we see Him, our first joy will be to know that we'll be forever in His presence. But the Bible says that at that time, we will give an account to Him for the way we lived on planet Earth, and whether we lived for ourselves or whether we lived for Him. And what an awesome day it's going to be. And it's going to be individual. It's going to be Christ evaluating us, and the Bible says that we should live in such a way that we will not be ashamed in His presence. Now, what I'd like you to do is to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, where Jesus gives a powerful story about the need to be absolutely faithful with what God has given to you. Matthew chapter 25. The context is the kingdom of heaven and the return of Christ. And Jesus said in verse 14, "For it, the kingdom of heaven, is like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions with them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey." I want you to notice, first of all, that this is so true to life because each of the servants was given a different amount. We don't know how much a talent was. It was probably a huge sum of money. We think of talents as the ability to sing, the ability to preach, the ability to write, but actually, talents in this context is money. That's what Jesus is talking about. And whether we broaden the concept, and it's perfectly fine to do that, to include our abilities, that is fine. But what Jesus is saying is, first of all, in life, there is really no equality. We think that everyone is created equal, and that has to do with their value. But you know that there are some people who have more money than others. There are some people who have more ability than others. There are some people who have better health than others. If there's anything that can be said about life, it is that it seems to be haphazard and scattered. We all have differing amounts. George Orwell said in his book that all animals were equal, but then he added that some are more equal than others, and how true that is. But secondly, I want you to notice that even though they received unequal amounts, it was possible for all of them to receive the very same reward. Because it says, verse 16, immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more. And the one who had received 2 talents gained 2 more. Let's skip for a moment the one who had 1 talent and let's go down to verse 20. And the one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I've gained 5 more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted to me 2 talents. I have gained 2 more talents. And he says, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. The very same reward. Now, isn't God good? Do you notice that God does not expect from a 1 talent or a 2 talent person the same as he expects from a 5 talent person? But notice that the one who had 5 doubled his, and the one who had 2 doubled his, and that's all that God expected. It's not as if God expects all of us to be a scientist, all of us to write books, or all of us to be able to do thus and so. What the Bible is saying is that God wants faithfulness, whether we're a 5-talent person, a 4-talent person, or a 1-talent person, or if we feel that we have only 1/10 of a talent, it matters not to God because we will be judged with what we had. Oh, it's been said so many times before. But you see, it's faithfulness in the little things, in obscurity, that matters. It's easy for me to be on time for a service, because if I were late, if I came onto this platform, or if others came onto this platform, and I wasn't up here, people would wonder, where's the preacher? Because I'd be seen in front of a large congregation. Do you think that that's more important to God than if you're an usher and you're late? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Because you see, God evaluates us with our responsibility, each according to his ability, each according to his assignment. Do you think that it's more important that I prepare well to preach than for you to prepare well because you teach a Sunday school lesson? Absolutely not. Oh, where did we get this idea? It is a sinful, damnable idea. That somehow faithfulness is expected for some areas of responsibility that are more visible, but it is unimportant for that which is invisible. And some people say to themselves, well, you know, if God gave me more, I'd be more faithful. A lie. It's a lie. You see, these people got rewarded after they were faithful with what they had. Then they received more. And some people want more up front. They say, well, you know, if God would bless me more, then I would be willing to give more to him. That's not the point. The point is faithfulness in what you have. That's what matters. You know, that widow who gave her 2 mites, and sometimes we say the widow's mite. That's terrible. Give her credit. She had 2 mites, not 1. Do you know that if that widow had taken those 2 mites and had invested it at 4% interest, the amount today would be 28 with about 40 zeros. And you know what I think? I think that when you invest your money for God, that he gives you at least a 4% return throughout all of eternity, so that you will never believe what faithfulness in something small may mean in terms of eternity. There is no way for you to even understand it, and we blow it all because of our unfaithfulness, not recognizing how honest and truthful God is in keeping his promises of rewarding those who give so much as a glass of cold water in his name. I was walking through the auditorium early this morning and I saw someone give me my glass of cold water. And God will reward him in this life as well as in a life to come. Now notice, There is, however, someone else in this parable that we've deliberately avoided until now, but he's the focus of the story. All the other men were simply a context in which Jesus could talk about this very famous or infamous one-talent person. Now, I want you to notice what he's like, because maybe you have met a one-talent person. It says, verse 18, "But he who received the one talent went away and dug it in the ground and hid his master's money." And then, of course, he needs to give an account to God as well as the others. So for that, we're going to skip to verse 24, because now it's his time to give his explanation. "And the one who had received the one talent came and said, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter any seed. And I was afraid. And I went away and I hid your talent in the ground.'" See, it's here. It's here. Here's your talent. "But the master answered and said to him, 'You wicked, lazy slave, you know that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest.'" That's bad enough, but listen to this. "Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has shall more be given, and he shall have in abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. And cast out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Ouch, ouch. Who is this worthless slave? I'll tell you, he's somebody who was mighty wrong. And he was wrong about a number of different things. First of all, he was wrong about himself. He was wrong about himself. He had a sense of inferiority. Everybody else has got 5 talents, 2 talents, 10 talents, and here I am just with 1 talent. So what I do with this 1 talent isn't very important. A spirit of comparison. Paul says those who compare themselves with themselves are not wise. I tend to think that the 1 talent person said, "If I can't have 5 talents, I'm not going to serve with my 1 talent. If I can't sing like Pete LaLusa, I'm not going to sing. If I can't preach like Chuck Swindoll, I'm not going to preach. If I can't look like so-and-so, if I'm not as good looking as so-and-so, then I'm not going to do such and such." And you see, it is that kind of an attitude that made him wrong about himself, that sense of inferiority, which the flip side of which is pride.
Well, my friend, I'm Pastor Lutzer, and as I've been thinking about this parable, I find it overwhelming to realize that Jesus took so seriously the mistakes that this man made. You know, we may look at someone like that in the church and think that he or she is humble. They don't want to serve. Jesus didn't look at it that way, did he? Could we just take out a moment and to ask God to reveal to us how we might see ourselves in this powerful story that you've just heard?
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer's series is on The Joy of Generosity, a study of how we use our time, talents, resources, and affections. Today we began a look at Christ, the Lord of our talents. Next time, we'll pick up right here. This entire series can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For all the details, call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.